And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? Live from the Command Center, located in the heart of Merced Church of Christ, this is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble correspondent, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and views you can use on Scripture and society, with a little help from my friends. This is an excursion into theology and other sundry matters. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Glad that you tuned in. I've been doing an expose on the Islamic religion. I think that's a needful thing. In light of the stuff that's been happening in the Middle East with ISIL, or ISIS, depending upon who you're listening to talk about that group, the Islamic State, as well as what just recently happened at the end of last week, where a woman in Moore, Oklahoma, that's right, right in the heartland of this great nation, a woman was beheaded by a man who had recently converted to Islam. Another woman was stabbed by the same man before he was taken down. Yeah, this stuff is really happening. So I believe it's vital that we get a grasp, or at least some sort of semblance of a handle, on the Islamic religion, especially as it stands in bold contrast to the Bible and the Christian religion. And so I want to talk about the God of Islam, Allah, and how he is different than the God of the Bible. Because the two are not the same. When you read the Quran, in fact, it has been noted by various Islamic adherents, as well as Islamic scholars, that the way that the Quran is written, it is written in such a way that Allah, who's making his revelation to the Prophet Muhammad, Allah considers himself to be the same God who made revelation to other prophets in the past. And so the Muslim claims and believes that Allah, the God of the Quran, Allah, he is in fact the same God of the Old and New Testaments. It's just those prophets, they're just part of the long stream leading up to the last prophet, Muhammad. However, textually, when you look at the Holy Quran and you compare Allah to the God of the Bible as he has revealed himself in the Old and New Testaments, you find a very sharp and striking contrast. Now, if Allah is indeed one and the same with the God of the Bible, Old and New Testament, you would expect there to be harmony. But in fact, what you find are contradictions. Let me illustrate it like this. Suppose you came across a couple of interviews, one in one newspaper. One put out by one news outlet, another put out by another news outlet, a different news outlet, a different newspaper. Let's say you have differing interviews with the president from, let's say, MoveOn.org, which tends to trend toward the liberal side of things, and The Blaze, the news outfit that tends to trend more toward a conservative worldview. You have these two interviews, and you read them, but as you read them, you begin to discover, there's some very contradictory statements from the president in these two. And both claim to be an interview with the president of these United States. Both claim to have been held at the White House. Both are saying exactly what the president told them. But taken together, when you compare them, they just don't make sense. Well, you do a little bit of digging. And you find out that while one of them really did have an interview with the president, the other organization, their journalist that they sent out, didn't. He was, or she, they were denied an interview with the president for whatever reason. And so here you have these two. For some reason, though, even though that journalist was denied an interview, could have been pressure from the newspaper, could have been they told him, you better write this interview or else. He needs that interview, and so he or she, they come to this conclusion, you know, I think I know enough about the president, I can make it up as I go. I've seen enough of the president's previous interviews. I know about his earlier successes, the promises that he's made and kept. And so they decide, they decide to write an article in such a way to make it seem like they really did have an interview. And it's skillfully done. They're going to do their best to make it look like they really didn't have an interview. And if there hadn't been the second interview, or the journalist was able to get in to see the president and actually interview him, if it hadn't have been for that, no one would have known that the other interview, the faked one, was indeed, well, a fraud. Again, they both write about the same president. The difference is in authorization. In the one interview, it was actually the president speaking. Those are his words. But in the other, well, the president didn't say those things. That's kind of what it's like with the Quran and with Allah. Yes, the Quran talks about Allah as though he is the same God of the Old and the New Testaments. And even, you know, perhaps if we didn't have the Old and New Testament, we could look at the Quran and say, this must be the Word of God. Though both books are talking about God and claiming to be His Word to man, they're both from the same source, they both claim to be authorized by God. And so very much similar in that way. However, one of the journalists was denied an interview. And though he had some early source material, perhaps did a little bit of research, maybe even had enough common sense to make up some things that might look good in an interview type situation, we have the previous interviews with the King, Yahweh. And so, though the Quran claims to be an interview from this same King, Allah, he looks very different than Yahweh. Same topic, but we're talking about different sources here. So what makes Allah different than Yahweh? Well, for one, very early on in the Bible, when Yahweh God, Jehovah, when he makes himself known, he speaks plurally. There's a plurality. Genesis chapter 1, when he's creating man, verses 26, 27, let us make man in our image. Now, that's not enough to build a theology of a Trinity, but it's enough to let us know that we're dealing with, yes, one God, but there are differing persons in the Godhead. Now, both Old and New Testaments teach about the Godhead consisting of even a Trinity, even the three persons of the Godhead. For example, over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, the chapters in this section of Isaiah have to do with the servant of Yahweh, the servant of the Lord. It's highly prophetic messianic literature concerning the coming Messiah, the coming Christ, which is Jesus. Isaiah 42 verse 1 talks about how my servant, whom I uphold, I have put my spirit upon him. You have the servant, you have the spirit, and you have I, which is Yahweh talking here. And that's just one of several places where, at least in the Old Testament, you get the hints. Now, Revelation is progressive. You may have heard it broken down as, you know, you've got the starlight phase of Revelation. That's your Age of the Patriarchs. You've got the moonlight phase of Revelation, which is, you know, the Mosaic covenant onward through the Old Testament. And then you have the sunlight phase of Revelation, which is when Jesus shows up in the whole New Testament. So, again, it's not a fully developed idea. You get these little glimpses, little hints, but you must wait until the New Testament when you're able to develop a full doctrine of the Godhead, the Trinity. Three who's of the one what? The three who's are Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the one what is God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The voice from heaven is the voice of the Father. The Holy Spirit is equated with God over in Acts chapter 5, about verse 3, also verse 4, when Ananias is said to have lied to the Holy Spirit. He and Sapphira, they lied to God. Again, that's Acts 5, verse 3. Yeah, verse 3 and verse 4. They lied to the Holy Spirit, they lied to God. Jesus, we dealt with his deity in a previous episode. But that's how Yahweh revealed himself. He is three in one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and there's one God. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's how he revealed himself in the Old Testament. And also how he is portrayed in the New Testament. There's still the affirmation of just one God. But these three persons, the person of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, each with their distinctive roles in the grand scheme of redemption. It's what one writer called the arithmetic of heaven. However, when you come to the Quran, Allah reveals himself very differently. For one, as I've dealt with before, Jesus is not God. He's not divine in any sense of the word. He's just another prophet in a long line of prophets that culminate in Muhammad. From the very first phrase in the Declaration of Faith, it was Muhammad who said, "I bear witness that there is no God but the Almighty God, and that Muhammad is the messenger of God." And that's something that every good Muslim must confess to, must declare. There's no God but the Almighty God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. The Islamic faith is very heavily monotheistic, just like Christianity is monotheistic. However, there is a difference. And again, it centers on Jesus. In the Quran, Surah 3, verse 64, "Say, O people of the Scripture, say, O people of the Scripture, come to a word that is equitable between us and you, that we will not worship except Allah, and not associate anything with Him, and not take one another as lords instead of Allah." It's not exactly the same. In fact, it's just a dim shadow of what God commanded His people all the way back in Exodus 20 when He gave them the Ten Commandments. "You shall have no other gods before Me." A little more wordy, but same idea. That's the monotheism. However, they go even further. Surah 16, verse 53, "For God hath said, take not to yourselves two gods, for He is one God." Surah 4:51, "Verily God will not forgive the union of other gods with Himself." And so we can get there, monotheistic, absolutely, just one God. We are not, Christianity is not polytheistic in any sense of the word. To affirm that Jesus is the Son of God, even God in the flesh, that He is Yahweh, that's a New Testament teaching. In fact, a verse which is quoted in every single gospel narrative, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is Isaiah 40, verse 3, spoken about John. When he shows up, Matthew 3, verse 3, "For this is He who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight." In the original text of Isaiah 40, verse 3, the Lord there is Yahweh. John comes on the scene to fulfill that prophecy. He is making he's making straight paths, preparing the way for Yahweh to come. And Yahweh shows up as Yeshua. He shows up as Jesus. That's God in the flesh, Yahweh God in the flesh, the one true and only God in the flesh. But Islam wholeheartedly, flat out, rejects that notion and actually misrepresents Christianity with regards to the Godhead, the biblical doctrine concerning God and His nature. They confuse it. They simply misrepresent it. They make it out as polytheism when in fact it isn't. They claim that Christians worship three gods, which simply is not the case. We only worship one God. He has revealed Himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And again, each of those has very specific roles in the grand scheme of redemption. Surah 5, verse 111. I just lost it. 1 second. That's what happens when you deal with live. Here we go. "And remember when I inspired to the disciples, believe in Me and in My messenger Jesus. They said, we have believed, so bear witness that indeed we are Muslims. in submission to Allah. That's what that means to be a Muslim. They misrepresent father, mother, and son in the very next verse. And remember when the disciples said, "Oh, Jesus, son of Mary, can your Lord send down to us a table spread from food, spread with food from the heaven?" Jesus said, "Fear Allah if you should be believers." And it goes on like this. Earlier in Surah 5, in verse, let me see if I can find it very quickly. Yes. 73, Surah 5, 73. "They have certainly disbelieved who say Allah is the third of three, and there is no God except one God, and if they do not desist from what they are saying, they will surely afflict the disbelievers among them, a powerful punishment. So they will not repent to Allah and seek His forgiveness, and Allah is forgiving and merciful." So that's the confusion. They confuse and misrepresent the Trinity, the Christian doctrine of three in one, three who's the one what, three who's being Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the one what being God. Surah 5, 116. "And beware the day when Allah will say, 'O Jesus, son of Mary, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as deities besides Allah?'" There's the confusion of father, mother, son, misrepresentation of them as three gods. "He will say, 'Exalted are you. It was not for me to say that to which I have no right. If I had said it, you would have known it. You know what is within myself, and I do not know what is within yourself. Indeed, it just goes on like this. But there's that confusion there. Take me and my mother as deities besides Allah. And there's that three gods polytheistic idea. There is one more very crucial distinction here that must be made between Allah and Yahweh. The whole Bible, from Genesis 1 to Maps, is the grand narrative of the one true and only God seeking His creation. This is the fundamental difference between the nature of Yahweh and the nature of Allah, the character of Yahweh and the character of Allah. It's the fundamental difference between the God of the Bible and the God of the Quran. The God of the Bible is constantly in pursuit of man. He is a God who is pictured as drawing near. He is a God that we can draw near to, and He will draw near to us, James chapter 4 tells us. He's a God who is wildly and recklessly in pursuit of us in order to forge and to form an intimate relationship with us. He is a God who comes down and steps onto the grand stage of human history to play out the drama, which is the life of Jesus, which culminates in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Allah is never pictured that way in the Quran. Will Allah run? You know, that's how God is pictured in the Bible. He is pictured as one who comes running to His people when they return to Him. Luke 15, this is how Jesus, the Son of God, presented God. He says He is a God who comes running. This is Luke 15 and the parable of the prodigal son. And the son, the story is not so much about the sinful son as much as it's about the fantastic father who comes running. The answer to the question, will God run, is yes, absolutely, and amen. The question to, will Allah run, is no. You see, Allah is far. He is far away. He is forever hidden. He is transcendent only. He's far away. And that is the fun. When it comes to even the way we approach God in Islam, you approach Allah by obeying Him. You must initiate, and even then you don't know how you stand with Him. But in Christianity, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, takes the initiative upon Himself. He initiates the search. He comes looking for us. He steps down into history. And that is completely opposite and in contrast to Allah in the Quran. That's the fundamental difference between the God of the Bible and the God of Islam. The God of the Quran. They are moving in completely different directions. Allah is moving further and further away in His transcendence. Yahweh, the God of the Bible, is seeking to move ever closer and closer to His creation. As we draw near to Him, He draws even closer to us. He is the one who initiated this grand search. He's the one who is the author and perfecter of our salvation. The beginner and the finisher. Allah, He would never do that. Your salvation is entirely dependent upon you, and if you don't do enough good to outweigh the bad, well, that stinks for you. So long, sucker. See you later. Kick dirt, kick rocks. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I got to get to our sponsor this half hour, and then we'll get to the question of the day segment. Sponsor this half hour is Sunset International Bible Institute, located in beautiful Lubbock, Texas. SIBI seeks to train whole persons to communicate the whole gospel to the whole world, wholly to please God. With a gifted staff of teachers who value the Word of God, who value the Church of Christ, and who value the lost of the world, SIBI offers and provides the best biblical training anywhere. Go online and visit SIBI.cc or call 1-800-658-9553. Sunset International Bible Institute, sir, training men and women for over 50 years.
And now it's time for the question of the day. Question of the day. Question. This is the question of the day on Life from the Pulpit.
Are Muslims Christian? This is born out of a different question which I'm developing for the question of the day segment on the YouTube channel. But I believe I can make short order of this very quickly. Are Muslims Christian? Absolutely not. Muslims are Muslims. They believe in Allah, which, as I've already demonstrated throughout this entire episode, is simply not the God of the Bible. And in fact, it's what they say about Christ. They are not followers of Christ. They're followers of Muhammad. Muhammad is the prophet of Allah. And so they are Mohammedans, if anything. They're not Christians. They're not followers of Christ. Think Christ was a prophet. Good man, but that's all. So their view of God is different. Their view of Christ is different. They do not agree with the Bible about who God is. They do not agree with the Bible about who Jesus is. And so they are, from the very get-go, fundamentally not Christians. They are simply Muslims. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit. Like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with the podcast, update the blog, or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. And subscribe to the YouTube channel. There are all the question of the day segments that I am posting as they become available. Follow me on Twitter at InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, now Philippians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store. Download all the episodes to your particular iDevice. You'll never be more than a click away from an episode of the podcast. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio and to help you there in your daily walk with the Lord. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.